Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. And we're excited about this one coming up Wednesday at the Ryman Auditorium, 7:30 p.m. The great Penn and Teller will be in our fair city. And again, you can go to Ryman.com to get those tickets. Penn is on the line with us now. How you doing? Thanks so much for doing this.
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm very happy to be there. Very happy to go to Nashville. We've never played the Ryman before, so this will be fun.
Well, that's where I was going to start because, you know, we're Music City, and the Ryman, the mother church of country music, is such a famous venue. I was going to ask if you had been there before, but how cool do you think that will be to be in such a historic venue?
It's really something because, you know, Teller and I have been backbones of country music for 50 years. I mean, when you think country music, like who should be playing the Ryman, the first act that pops into your head is Penn and Teller. You see, you say, how is it possible they haven't played here before? But we're coming in with our particular brand of country music.
Penn and Teller and Hank Williams, it just goes together.
Exactly. But I just saw Willie at the Hollywood Bowl, so I'm all inspired.
Very, very nice. For somebody that has never seen you guys live before, and I mean, you've been on television, you've been doing this for a long time, what can someone expect, or is it always just expect the unexpected?
Well, you know, as someone who's done, you know, Penn and Teller Fool Us for 13 years on the CW and done a lot of magic on TV, it's a little odd to say, but you can't really see magic on TV, no matter how much we try to give you the feeling that you're right there in the room. You simply aren't. So when you see us live, we lie, cheat, swindle, and steal to give the impression that certain laws of time, space, and physics are being broken. And that is something you can only experience live. So no matter how much Teller and I do television, we've done quite a bit, what we really do is really just live shows.
We're talking to Penn on the Chase and Big Joe show this morning. All right, as the biggest Miami Vice fan on the planet, I just want to sit here and talk about you being in Miami Vice back in 1985. Can we talk about that?
Sure. Well, I was shot in the head dead, and I'll just tell you, you spend 2 weeks with Don Johnson, see how much you want to be alive.
But, yeah, I know. We'll get into the Ryman and the comment and the magic because you guys are great. But at that time, you were on starring in the probably the most popular show in the world. And you're in New York City, and you're running around with Crockett and Tubbs. I mean, my God, I'll come see you Wednesday night just to get a picture with you because you were in Miami Vice.
Yeah. It was a pretty nutty time. You know, they went through. That was the it was the opening show of the second season, which was actually everywhere else in the world. It was a movie, but here it was a TV show, Prodigal Son. And it was pretty amazing. It was the center of everything. You know, Miami Vice was taking everybody from Broadway and off Broadway. You know, the show that I was on, there were guys from Steppenwolf. There were people all over, and you could just every time you went anywhere in New York, everybody had been on Miami Vice. It was really a fun, exciting time. You know, I mean, when else you get to wear a $5,000 shirt
right,
and play a drug dealer? You know,
oh, yes.
the shirt that I was wearing cost $5,000. Who wears a $5,000 shirt?
Not me, not at all. Let me ask, when you start out and you're busking 50 years ago, any idea, Penn, I mean, any idea you'd be this revered, this loved as you guys are today?
Well, no. You know, if you talk to most people in show business, they will tell you that they are much less successful than they should have been. Paul McCartney actually said in an interview that the Beatles were not as famous as they should have been. But we are an exception. Teller and I, we've been much more successful than we should have been. And we're just waiting for the invisible hand of the economy to catch up and say, what are you guys doing? You know, the real idea, because we never had goals of playing big places or any of that. our only goals were based on wanting to do, you know, amazing stuff. That's one of the reasons that, Taylor and I have been together 50 years, and we put in more new material now than we did 50 years ago. We're always writing new stuff. When Taylor and I get together, if one of us says, you know, I got this idea for a trick that'll be really easy and people will love, the other guy's not very interested. If one of us comes and says, I got this idea, but I think it's impossible, and I'm not sure anyone will like it, and it's going to be really, really hard, the other guy goes, hey, now, let's go.
I love that.
So we're doing some crazy stuff, you know, and if we played Nashville before, and if anybody's seen us before, it'll be a whole different show. We have written, I believe we've written more magic than anyone in history. So we do new stuff all the time, and we're always jacked up about the new stuff. You know, many people get into show business kind of to get out of it. You know, a lot of people in Las Vegas, they've done the same shows for 20 years, and then they just play golf during the day. I don't want to play golf. I want to do magic tricks.
I love it. Why does it work? I mean, why is it still working today?
Well, you know, Taylor and I have what I believe is now the longest partnership in show business. I guess you could say Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, but they take, you know, 3 years off to hate each other, like every 2 years. We work together constantly, and I think the reason is that it's not, I mean, this is an overstatement, but it's not really a friendship. It's a business partnership. You know, Taylor and I, what we care about is the show. So if we don't get along for a few weeks, we kind of don't care as long as we get the show going and we do good stuff, you know. So, I mean, over 50 years, of course, Taylor and I have become very good friends. But still, we keep it very, very businesslike all the time, you know.
We're talking to Penn of Penn & Teller. They're going to be at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday. So you talk about, you know, you don't want to play golf. You enjoy doing this. You've been doing this for 50 years as the partnership with Teller. You know, I find it fascinating that you have new material. People are going to see all this new stuff. But what is the balance of writing new stuff, keeping it fresh, but also, you know, being what has gotten you to this point, what people know, the two guys that people will recognize when they come and see your show?
Well, you know, we're always Penn and Teller. You know, we have a style that's always the same, and the tricks change. You know, it's a little different than music. In music, you really want to hear the hits. You know, you go to see Willie and you kind of want to hear him do On the Road Again. But when you come to see us, you just really want tricks that'll blow your mind. And if they're not the same ones you've seen on TV, that might be a little better. You know, I'm a huge music fan. So going to see Billy Strings and Bob Dylan and Willie, it's really interesting, the feeling of music different from a live show. We do a couple of the hits. We always have a thing or two in the show that people may have enjoyed, but it's just a different thing because magic is essentially intellectual. You think about how the world works and how we make it look entirely different. And music is essentially visceral. You essentially feel it. It forces you to tap your foot. Whereas magic, you have to think about, oh, that's impossible, and then your mind is blown.
Do you still have – we love pop culture on the show. We're huge Simpsons fans. I know you guys have been on a couple episodes of The Simpsons. But do you ever have moments that even this far into your career where you pinch yourself when you get asked to do something, whether it's like – Joe mentioned in doing Miami Vice or The Simpsons, WWE, what have you. Is it still kind of like, man, this is really cool, we're getting to do this?
I always think they've made a horrible mistake. I go, really? I remember when I got the part in Miami Vice, my manager, my agency called me and said, you got the part. And I said, I think they made a mistake because I saw the guy ahead of me and he was wicked good. Are you sure? they got the right name and it wasn't on the list wrong. So I always, it's not once in a while I pinch myself. It's I never, ever believe it. You know, I live in a town where, you know, my children to go to school drove by four billboards of Penn and Teller. And it still seems a little bit weird. You know, I'm from a small town in Western Massachusetts. And, you know, my dad was a jail guard. So I really wasn't brought up with any show business at all. The first person I knew in show business was me. So it's still pretty pretty startling, even at 70 years old.
Penn, what is your all-time favorite magic trick?
You know, I think the best trick that we did was that we will not be doing at the Ryman was we did a thing where I drove an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest in front of Radio City Music Hall on 6th Avenue. And that came about because we were doing a special called Don't Try This at Home at the end of the 80s. And the head of NBC had read a big profile of us in the New Yorker. And the interviewer had asked me, what trick have you never done that you want to do? And I said, well, I've always wanted to drive an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest. And it got a laugh from the guy, the interviewer. And we got a call from NBC. And they said, how much money for you to do that trick you want to do? And I said, well, we don't know how to do it. So it'll be more. And Brandon Tartikoff, who was the head of NBC at the time, said, yeah, let's do it. And Teller and I worked for 6 months, and I got to drive an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest in front of Radio City Music Hall. And it was pretty great. It was pretty fun. And the other part that's really funny is, of course, I had to learn to drive an 18-wheeler. Yeah, you know, it's also the time we did the world's biggest card trick, and we had to learn to shuffle diamond plate gigantic cards. It was 2 tons of cards that we learned to handle with forklifts, and it was months we were working in a warehouse in Jersey, learning to use forklifts to be able to shuffle cards. It was the thing we did once on Letterman. The floor had to be reinforced, and it was a big thing. And I remember at the time I was going out now and again with Debbie Harry of the band Blondie, and I remember calling her and saying, well, I'm going to be done at the warehouse at 5 o'clock, and I'll be coming back into the city. Do you want to get some dinner? And Debbie said to me, you know, Penn, if I wanted to date a guy working in a warehouse in New Jersey, I could have skipped the whole Blondie thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Again, the show is Wednesday at the Ryman Auditorium. Penn, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, and we look forward to seeing you in our city coming up on Wednesday.
Looking very forward to playing it. Thanks so much. And we'll be doing a lot of banjo and fiddle stuff. So
yeah. We can't wait.
Okay, then.